What's up, everybody? Before you get to your show, it's DJ and Bucky here with Move the Six to tell you what's coming up on the latest episode.
A lot of information. We have Ole Miss's Pro Day. We're going to do our perfect pairs. We move on to the NFC and AFC East, and we also are going to take a look at the Red Stars at the safety position.
Around the NFL, guys taking shots at us, Bucky. I don't like it. Don't listen to their podcast. Listen to ours. You can find it on NFL.com/podcast, YouTube, or iTunes.
The Around the NFL Podcast is a three-time off-season champion.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm joined by a room filled with heroes, Colleen Wolf, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys and girl?
Hey, Dan.
Yo. What up?
Whoa. Welcome back, Colleen. Back-to-back weeks.
I know. Weird. You going to be all right? You good with this?
Mark,
I love it.
They're a little under the weather.
Mark battling. We got this. Why Mark needs to start eating meat.
Did we confirm whether he has vertigo or not?
I believe he's at the doctor's right now to find. I think it's more of an ear infection. Something's going on there. It's good. It's good to have Colleen back here. Hopefully Mark feels better.
It's great to have Colleen back. I'm not feeling great either. I missed like a whole weekend of party time with Colleen Wolf.
Yeah.
Gonzo, your hub. Wes was involved. And Greg. By the way, let me say something about Greg.
Oh, no.
Greg's family, when they go to Japan, it's like Greg's a bachelor all over again.
It's great.
It's like Greg, you know, he's out this night. He's out that night. It's
yeah. Like, there were multiple hangouts. We went to the beach.
Oh, you're at a local burger joint? Yeah. Well, put the bar tab on my my card.
Do I bring, like, what is this, mid-90s bad dance songs wherever I go? In a boombox or something?
I'm just saying, it's an interesting look into your soul a little bit it's good. How you really take advantage of both your two children and your wife are in Japan.
They're in Japan. I'm joining them later this week. So I had about 8 or 9 days, as a bachelor. And, you know, as anyone with a family will say, you got to take advantage of that time. And I've been seeing friends that I don't normally get to see, going out as much as I can. I'm using the time.
Just like zany antics, too. Like, you're like, oh, I'm back home. It's late. Uh-oh, lock myself out. Gonna break into my own home.
Well, that was,
whoa, what?
Like, I didn't hear this story.
Literally like adventures that Greg's having by himself.
Well, that had nothing to do with my – well, I guess it did have to do
it's
with
just
my
an adventure.
Family because she could have left me in. Yeah, when I was going out Saturday night after I left you guys at the beach, that's where we hung out with Colleen and Gonzo and Wes. You know, I took a cab to Hollywood and went out – or took an Uber and
woo!
Realized
– big night on the town.
I got to leave the car at home.
I locked myself out of my house. And so when I got back late at night, I had to break into my house.
That seems like a Greg move.
Which wasn't that easy? I had to climb onto a neighbor's sort of fence.
No, you did not.
Jump over another thing with wires, and I thought initially I my back or something, which shows how old I am.
You're not allowed to say the F word, by the way.
That was fine. Oh, yeah.
See, he doesn't care. He's such a bad boy.
I love it. I love this new Greg. I've actually had to break into my house before.
Oh, yeah. So I really shouldn't be giving this away because I just said how easy it is to break into my house, apparently.
And here's Greg's address, 1412 Santa Monica Drive. Greg still here and getting ready to go to Japan. So life's good for Greg Rosenthal.
I learned something interesting, too, about Greg.
Ooh, I was going to say, like, what have you learned?
I learned that he was one of the founding members of a bocce ball league. Was it a league? Or like?
Well, it was not a league. But, yeah, Wes brought some bocce balls to the beach. Not a huge hit. But, I was a founding member of the inaugural Minichog Regional Bocce Club. I believe still the only high school bocce club in all of Massachusetts.
How did that go for you when you were against Colleen and I?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, I'm not really great at cornhole or bocce ball.
We won.
Well, with you, yeah, that's true.
I'm bring this up to the line that I said before the show, which is Wes is like the Michael Jordan of parlor games. Whatever team's Wes on generally wins these things. So when it was Wes and I, Colleen and her husband couldn't even score a point off of us.
What's the Malcolm Gladwell thing? If you spend 10,000 hours on anything, you master it. Wes has spent over 10 million hours in bars. So
darts.
Do the math.
Darts, pool, anything that's not really a sport.
How come that doesn't work for me,
that's an outrage.
That's a good question. Yes, this is the Monday edition of the Around the NFL podcast, sponsored by no one. Nice show today. Very nice show today. We've got a lot to get to. Some news from around the league, of course, as we do every show. You know, things are slowing down. We're hitting kind of a slow period of the NFL calendar in terms of news before the draft sneaks up on us, but there's still stuff to talk about. We'll do that. We will touch base with, you know, I am the owner, Colleen, of a team.
Oh, I know, the Graybeards.
Oh, yes, the Graybeards. So I have a big announcement to make. I'm not going to tease it now. Big announcement about the Graybeards.
Wow.
Talk about the 2016 roster, which I have now welcomed an entire new team and signed an entire team. And we're going to talk about the Graybeards.
You must be so excited.
I'm very excited.
I can't wait.
Is this the third season for the Graybeards? Fourth, maybe?
I don't know if it's definitely at least two. I don't know, maybe three. I don't think four.
I don't know. I'm on the edge of my seat to see what this announcement is. No one even knows what it is. So.
Yeah, it's seismic. I'll put it.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
And then we haven't checked in with Connor Orr in a while. He's getting married this weekend, so he's gonna his life changes forever in a few days. So we need to check in how he's doing with that. He's an interesting guy, so you never know kind of what his headspace is. Let's check in on that. And then we got to check in on some things around Connor. We always like to know, you know, what's going on with his Madden team. Got to check in on Horrible Movies.
Right, I forgot about that.
Series on the podcast. So a lot to get to today. But before that, we got to do some news. What's up, Brandon McGuinness behind the glass, the Irishman?
Nothing much, Dan. How you doing?
Good, good, good. Would you mind if we – oh, did you see Batman, by the way?
That is correct. I did.
Was it bad?
No. No, no, no. Not at all.
Okay.
I mean, you can rip apart
it. So you talked yourself into it.
Yeah, so everyone else
– I didn't even have to. You know, I was listening to everyone, and it's like, you know, if you don't like it, that's your fault. I loved it.
I could. I'm happy.
Thank you. You know. That was mostly TD who, like – just, man, even when we were downstairs talking about it, how he was talking about the movie, and it's just like, man, just sit back and enjoy it. He's trying to break it down, dissect it.
You know, I already had to deal with all the Star Wars stuff in December, and now all the same people are talking about Batman versus Superman. It's like, just give me a break, guys.
It's back.
Just give me a break.
Can't get away from it.
I'm happy you liked it, Brandon. Let's do some news.
And so it's the audience's voice is loudest, and after this weekend, the audience will at least partly have spoken.
Anybody got a guess on that one?
That's like the director of Batman talking about the bad reviews.
Ooh, I'm just close. Guessing. That's close.
I was just guessing.
Is that Zack Snyder?
No. It's Superman himself, Henry Cavill.
Oh, boy.
That's how.
Wes,
that's
your
how
thoughts on that as the drop?
I zoned out as soon as you started talking about little kid superheroes.
Yeah.
Good. Go date another 19-year-old, bro.
I want to
about that? I'm on top of things.
So that's good. That's good. So Arian Foster is a free agent, of course. He's coming back from a torn Achilles. And the Miami Dolphins are a team that have tried over and over again this offseason to get a running back to stick with their team. They try to get Lamar Miller, or they try to hold on to him, couldn't do it. C.J. Anderson, they signed him to an offer sheet, correct?
Yes.
Went back to the Broncos. Was there a third guy that they tried?
Chris Johnson,
they offered twice as much as the Cardinals.
And supposedly they were in on Alfred Morris as well.
Yeah,
won't somebody please take our money?
Right. So now Arian Foster now is connected to the Dolphins. Rap Sheet reported Monday that the former Texans running back is scheduled to meet with the team on Tuesday. Foster was cut by the Texans earlier this month. Rappaport reported that Foster could, quote, pass a physical now, but the Dolphins are unlikely to sign him until he can go full speed. And by the way, guys, you know, we don't like to always do this, but this is something that was predicted on this very podcast. How obvious is it going to be when in about a month or two the Dolphins make a way too big offer for Arian Foster? I mean, that's what Stefan and Fergie are doing in that front office.
Well, A, that actually hasn't happened yet, the offer, the way too big offer. B, is there any chance you bring that clip up if anyone else in the room had made that prediction?
No.
Dan tossing to a soundbite of Dan.
I wouldn't have remembered it if you guys did it, but
I think this is an excellent call, Dan. I mean, still have a month for that offer to come in.
It's coming, is what I'm saying. It was, very,
and it will be more than any other team would be offering.
It was obvious that that name brand, that shiny thing, that their front office would be interested in it. It just can he still play? I guess they're making at least the right move, Greg, to wait and to see how he looks when he's quote unquote 100%.
It makes sense. I mean, I think he's worth a shot as long as the money's low. Clearly, they don't think that they're set at running back. They have Jay Ajayi, who I started watching for a piece we're going to redraft, the 2015 draft. I'm going to look at the running back. Like Jay Ajayi a lot, but maybe he doesn't quite fit the scheme that Adam Gase is going to do. He's more of a one-cut kind of big guy. He would fit well in Denver, and he's had injury problems. So I think they're going to draft someone. Either going to draft someone high or they're going to sign Foster.
Yeah, Foster's great when he's good and when he's healthy, I mean. But he just seems like he's always hurt, and he's going to be 30, right? So, I mean, I don't know if I'm sold on them just having Jay Ajayi there. They need somebody else.
No, and they have no depth. They literally have no one else practically on the roster. So they need a couple players.
Can anyone name a running back who has made a successful return from Achilles tendon surgery?
Deuce McAllister was moderately successful for a little bit, wasn't he?
No.
He, like, kind of came back and he
came
was
back and was, like, a goal line back.
But he was the one carrying the bat and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He was getting everyone excited.
Andre Brown came back and just kept getting injured. Now, Achilles surgery has come light years in the last 5-6 years, but skill position players, a running back who's got a cut like that, I don't know if he can do it.
We'll see how it plays out. Plenty of time. It sounds like this isn't something that's imminent, and I would assume other teams will get interested if he's healthy. In other news, Rap Sheet reported Monday that the Saints have agreed to a one-year deal with Nick Fairley. New Orleans announced the deal later that day. The Patriots had interest in adding Fairley after they lost Akeem Hicks, but ultimately Fairley ends up with the Saints. Anybody a little nervous about Nick Fairley playing in New Orleans?
A lot of good food down there.
Is that what you were going after?
I'm just saying he's had issues both conditioning-wise and, you know, sometimes it just seems like he loses focus. New Orleans is a place where you can lose yourself a little bit.
I think that's a thing. I think for a player that is going to be prone – I don't know if Nick Fairley is this player or not, but for players that are prone to possibly – eating too much, drinking too much. New Orleans is one of those cities. Miami would be similar, but in a different way, more for the nightlife, where I think it can have a harmful effect on an NFL player. It certainly does for people that go down to college there. Half the people don't make it back for sophomore year. And these are like, you know, golly gee kids paying a lot of like private school money. And then they're I've just seen a lot of kids who had never had a drop of alcohol in their life show up for freshman year and they're gone, you know, 6 months later because they've been wasted.
Would you say New Orleans is the best culinary city in the country?
Per capita, there's no doubt. I mean, for the amount of people.
I'll get Greg going on New Orleans.
I don't think I can go there.
Well, it's not even close, though. Per capita. Now, New York is right. You know, New York, obviously, for the breadth. San Francisco and L.A. are both great, but per capita.
I don't think
I
trust myself to go to New Orleans.
In a condensed area with that little amount of people.
In what sense, Colleen?
I don't know if I'd be able to handle all the delicious food there. I don't know if I would come back.
What about the other picture? Yeah.
No.
The other avenues of
just food.
Indulgence.
Okay, so just the food.
Just food for me.
Well, that's good. But Nick Fairley, he could play when he's motivated and in shape and stuff. So for a team that every year is a terrible defense, adding a guy you know, under the age of 30 with some talent, not a bad signing, right?
50 shades of terrible D.
Well, they need defensive tackles. He's probably going to start for them. I like the signing. I think they needed to take some chances. People have been talking up their offseason. James Laurinaitis, to me, was
a curious – Who's talking it up?
I saw a couple – well, Ian, for our NFL –
I gave them a D on our grades.
He also matched old Josh Hill, our former making the leap.
Throw it to him 10 times again this year.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Laurinaitis, but that's a good signing, Nick Fairley.
Here's another signing that could be good, depending if you could talk yourself into the player. The Packers are going to sign tight end Jared Cook, formerly of the Rams, a one-year – $3.6 million deal per Rap Sheet. I guess the deal's not official yet, but that's the deal. It's going to happen eventually, giving Aaron Rodgers a pass-catching tight end. He seems to have been lacking since Jermichael Finley suffered his career-ending neck injury. Cook comes to Green Bay after 3 years in St. Louis. He's 28 years old, had 1,786 yards and 8 touchdowns in those 3 years. However, Greg, you spoke often or numerous times, at least repeatedly, or multiple times, at least twice is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, my God.
Happening? You said it at least twice that Jared Cook was holding that offense.
That's a sound drop, what just happened.
Holding that offense hostage at times. You did not like what he was doing in St. Louis last year.
No, few tight ends did more to hurt their team than Jared Cook. Always a penalty or a mental error or a drop. He would kill the Rams, and they just refused to take him out of lineup. What is Wes doing?
The idea that a tight end is holding the Rams' offense hostage. Well, give me a break.
He hurt them as much
they
as
they don't have a quarterback.
He hurt them
He's
as much
gone
as he
from
could.
Case Keenum and Nick Foles to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Wait, so Chris Wessler, are you saying that Jared Cook could be a Pro Bowler in Green Bay?
I'm saying he chose the Packers over the Bears, Falcons, and Panthers. He had interest. This is not an insignificant contract, $3 million for a year. That's fairly pricey. I mean, that's a good deal. I think this offense needed speed. They were the slowest wide receiver tight end core in the NFL by Next Gen Stats, according to Next Gen Stats last year. And you could see it on the film. Nobody could get open.
And now you add Nelson and Cook.
And a skinnier Eddie Lacy.
Let's talk about that. If you have Jared Cook, who can move and make some plays, Jordy Nelson back, let's assume he's 100% after ACL surgery. Eddie Lacy, the P90X guy, it looks like a photo that started floating around last week. Looks like he's slimmed down considerably. Put all those things together, could this offense be great again? Because it certainly wasn't last year.
I think yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at what they've been able to do in the past, just take last year out of it. It was just last year. I mean, that offense can really work. And Aaron Rodgers, the things that we saw from him last year, I think was a trickle-down effect, because the stuff that we saw of him kind of skittish in the pocket, I think that he just got burned so many times by his receivers dropping things and guys just not making plays and not being in the right place at the right time. And I think that when all of the guys are back, it will change everything.
And by the way, wait until August when the stories start coming out about how banged up Randall Cobb was.
Right.
He was never close to the same guy. So if he's healthy, you know, we were talking before Nelson got hurt, Wes, last summer. I remember there was some buzz about could this be a historic offense. Perhaps after one down year, they'll be back to that level.
Well, everything that could go wrong went wrong. Jordy Nelson, we were ranking him as a top five NFL receiver and got a lot of brushback on that from people who said he was just a product of Aaron Rodgers. I think we saw that he wasn't just a product. Then Randall Cobb gets hurt. Devontae Adams gets hurt.
Well, he might not even make the team at this point, Devontae.
Oh, he's making the team.
I think Jared Cook's a good move because great quarterbacks make mid-level players better. So I think there'll be a game or two where Packers fans are cursing Jared Cook's name because he does something stupid.
I agree with that.
Stupid. But this is not an insignificant move. He's had 70 or more targets in the last 4 years. I mean,
and the Rams overpaid him.
Right.
The Packers are getting him on a pretty decent deal.
Well, and they had convinced themselves they had to get a tight end. So you always like a free agent move like this, where now they're not going into the draft feeling like we have to draft a tight end in the first or second round. We have Cook there. If the right one falls to them, then they'll probably take one anyways.
In other news, Rex Ryan, this is a little leftover action from the coach's breakfast last week, a post by Connor Orr this morning, which was just tearing it up on the metrics, as Greg let us know this
really?
Morning. Rex Ryan was asked about the Ryan Fitzpatrick situation with the Jets. Fitzpatrick, of course, still a free agent, not attached to the Jets. He's looking for, from what we're hearing, roughly double than what the Jets are offering right now. But Ryan said he really hopes that Ryan Fitzpatrick is out of New York. But do you believe him? Here's the line, or here's the quote. I hope he goes somewhere else. I do. He's tougher than hell. What's lost in it is he might have played poorly against us. He might have had a bad day, referring to Week 17. But I think they won 5 straight with him, and he was lighting it up. Probably the most yards in history of that franchise. We'll see. Like I said, I hope they lose him. And then Connor did a nice job in his post, because then he went through all the Rex Fitzpatrick games going back to his time in Buffalo, or Fitzpatrick's time in Buffalo. And for many of those games, the Amish rifle was dreadful. And it actually lowered my P scale from 7.5 about losing Fitzmagic to 7, because it served as another reminder that Ryan Fitzpatrick, come on, great year last year, but he's not that good. So Rex Ryan's playing games.
All I can think about when I hear about that is Rex Ryan after that. I think we were talking about it at the beach too, the win that the Bills had over the Jets, the Color Rush game.
Oh, the Color Rush game.
And that's what happened that game, because Fitzpatrick, he melted down, and then afterwards it was Rex just talking about he was glowing, he was beaming, he was so excited. He was talking about being dumped by a hot girl, and right. then that's that making weird metaphors and things.
Well, that was a very tough moment for me. I thought I will never forget it. You know, the color rush game in general.
Right.
As a man, you know, as one of the colorblind people out there.
Afflicted.
For instance, when Fitzpatrick threw that interception at the end of the game, was it an interception or was it a good completion to keep the game going? I couldn't really tell.
That was tough for you.
Right away.
By the way, here are the seven games. Rex Fitzpatrick, 10 of 25, 9 of 23, 12 of 27, 15 of 31, 26 of 39, 18 of 32, 12 of 26. Bunch of interceptions.
I've got a lot to say on this now that I think of it.
Go ahead.
One, I like that the Jets fans are now trying to talk themselves into not getting him back.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
That's kind of the natural process. That's starting now.
We're just trying to, like, you know, ease, if that does happen, realize that Joe Montana is not walking out the building.
Two, I think, and no one seems to really believe that, I think Geno Smith presence.
Oh God, here we go. Oh
my. No.
Here we go again.
It has nothing to do with what I think, but I've heard this now from multiple places. I think his presence there is absolutely having a big impact on their Ryan Fitzpatrick stance. So whether you agree with me or not, I think Mike Maccagnan and Todd Bowles agrees with me that he is a legitimate option, and he's part of the reason they're holding the line.
A guy that they had nothing to do with bringing in, that their only real experience
they were gonna start him.
Was getting his jaw busted in a fight because he was being a jackal.
But he was the starter
over 400
at that point.
Bucks.
Jackal.
He was the starter at that point. They had spent the whole offseason.
Very loosely. There was nothing in
but
set
was,
in stone.
He was probably going to be. So you just probably. This.
Geno Smith.
Multiple.
I think places. He represents an option. So it would be. A way, I think the Jets would be more aggressive and more willing.
I think they kind of like him and probably think
I don't know.
It's not that different between those two
guys. I don't
guys.
Think so. I think
so that makes them be able to be a little more
I
aggressive.
I get your point, Greg. But I'm saying if it was just Bryce Petty in the building, I think they'd be different. At least they know, we have a guy who was a two-year starter. But it's not because they like the guy. I think they just know see him as a fallback option.
Might be Greg's most peculiar stance in the history of this podcast. Going to the barricades for
stance.
Geno Smith.
I'm going out with
again.
The Jets' stance.
You do, but at some point it's a little bit rooted in that you still believe that Geno's a decent quarterback.
Well, yeah, I think they see that he has some potential.
And you want them to see that as well.
I think they do see that. I've heard it from people are saying that the Jets believe in. Maybe the Jets are just putting that out there a little bit as leverage. Also, the numbers on Fitzpatrick, what they're offering him, kind of went out there from Bleacher Report.
Yeah.
Right now, his offer was $7 million a year.
He's looking for 16. So, that's significant.
That is pretty insulting in a league where RG3 and Chase Daniel are making $7 million a year.
Is it insulting, or is that what he's really worth?
Here's the thing, and I think I said this on the Sheck Show. I don't think I said it on this one. But, you know, I would understand Fitzpatrick has stayed out of the fray and you haven't heard from him at all.
Which is cool.
Which is good. But wouldn't you be annoyed, like really angry if you're Fitzpatrick? He saved that team last
year.
Yeah. From total clown car, same old Jets disaster by not only taking over on short notice, but then thriving and setting the touchdown record for the team. And this is how you repay me? You offered
And then
it.
Throwing the season away in the season finale.
I mean, that's
part of the story and probably a part of the reason he's not signed yet. But what he was able to do, he saved them. They went 10-6 when everyone thought the wheels were going to come off.
I think that
but they know who he is.
But that's a statement offer. That's like, I think a relatively low, reasonable offer would be 10 or 11 a year on like a one or two-year deal. And that's on the low end. That's like, hey, here's the lowest end of starting quarterback. To go 7 is like,
it's bro, such a slap
you're
in
a backup,
face.
Man.
Let me ask you
that's
this.
How we view you.
How many other teams have chased him?
That we know of? Nobody really.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Because they know what he is.
But they also, these other teams know that he's only looking for $15 million plus, and there maybe if he brought his price tag down. I don't know. I still think he ends up a Jet, but
he's going to get an average roster to 6-10 and a pretty good roster to 10-6, and that's it.
Maybe not a Super Bowl quarterback. I got you. Moving on, Trent Richardson. We talked about it a little bit, I think, last week with Sessler when he was on the phone. And I was about to say, get well soon, Mark, but I don't think he's listening. I think he's just recovering in recovery mode.
I hope he doesn't have vertigo.
That's a horrible affliction.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like I
ruined Nick Asaski's career.
Oh, poor Nick. Promising young lefty slugger for the Red Sox.
Righty slugger.
Righty?
Came up with the Cincinnati
I hope
Reds.
That doesn't happen to Mark.
Yeah, we hope you're not the next, you're not the Nick Asaski of the podcast world. Get well soon, Mark. Anyway, Trent Richardson.
Colleen says that with a big smile on her face, thinking like, no, it wouldn't be the worst.
No, pretty funny,
no, don't put that out there. Oh, my
would
God.
Would be an open chair.
Not true.
Anyway, Mark and I have a sandwich wager on Trent Richardson ever playing a snap again in a regular season game, of course. And now the Ravens have been tied to Richardson in a loose sense for several weeks. And AL.com, is that – what is AL? Alabama?
Yes.
Yes.
Reporter Matt Zenitz had this interesting little tidbit about Richardson's weigh-in with the Ravens. He weighed in at 238 pounds after settling for, quote, fried chicken at Popeyes the night before, then eating a heavy breakfast that consisted of pancakes, grits, and a breakfast wrap. His quote, I didn't think.
That sounds like a Saturday.
That's
I
a
didn't
lot.
Think I was working out.
I didn't think I was working out, Richardson said, of why he had such a big meal. They were like, you ready to go work out? I'm like, work out? That was right before the workout, and I got weighed right before that. I was like, oh, my God. And I jumped on the scale, and I was like, oh, my God, I've been doing so good. According to Richardson, he reportedly weighed 226 last week before the –
Is that meal a 12-pound meal?
I don't know. It's a little. It's all a little hazy. But the Ravens want him to get down to 225, so he's still significantly overweight in terms of what the Ravens want him to be. And, you know, that meal, a little bit of a La Rabia Magnifico.
Yeah. Whoa.
If I've ever heard one, good luck to the guy, but, you know.
Get yourself together. You can't be doing that, especially if, like, you have any teams interested at all. You need to, like, be P90Xing it immediately.
You're literally trying to save your career, and you're having, like, these massive back-to-back meals separated by a nap.
Though it does sound delicious and
yeah,
wonderful,
doesn't
it?
Yeah, it sounded tasty. Sounded good.
That's the meal you get after you sign, though, right?
Popeye's might be.
Yeah.
And then it's like, then we go back to work.
Right.
Not before. And then he finds out he has to work
out. Might
be
in the wrong line of work. I mean, it sounds like he could be a comedian instead of a football player.
You know what? The
it's pretty funny and entertaining.
The sad part of this is that line is in the middle of a long article really explaining, with good context, Trent Richardson's road back. And so that's why it almost didn't fit. It was sort of in this idea of, like, Trent Richardson has turned his life around and he really has realized that this is his last chance and he's working hard again. And then that was just, like, thrown in the middle of it as if nothing happened. And it sort of it made you question the whole article before that. Now, some of it, I think, was – what's the word? Illuminating on some of the pressures and the mistakes that Richardson made as a pro. He was basically saying he couldn't deal without the structure of college.
Right.
The NFL was too easy to get lazy. And it talked a lot about all the money
the
he
money
was spending on
too.
Everyone. He said at one point he was spending like he like paid for
five
funerals. And he had no
and
idea.
And they were each like over $12,000.
Right. And he was saying
he was buying cars.
He was
for
saying
people,
he wasn't really that
trips.
Close to people. Basically, he's that guy who he That's spent a lot of money on a lot of people taking advantage of him.
Trent.
Had
come
to
on,
cut
buddy.
Them off.
Come on, buddy. You can do this. Last line, by the way, from Kevin Patcher in the write up on Around the NFL. As we saw with Jamarcus Russell's epic failure at a comeback,
oh, no.
Losing weight is only part of the battle. Overcoming laziness is a lifestyle choice necessary to keep a job in the NFL. You can just picture that.
As he benched
yeah,
it's
like, weakness. This is weakness leaving the body. Pain is weakness leaving the body.
I really wish we had a video on you guys
I
right
know.
Now. Dan and Wes are doing synchronized bench presses.
You know what? Trent Richardson just needs a whiteboard.
Oh, that's true.
I think we all could use a whiteboard.
He could listen
we
to
should
this.
Send him one.
He
we
could
send
listen
him a
to this podcast and go around with the little jokes that we had. Put that up on the whiteboard.
Oh, no.
By the way, Popeyes, is that the number one fast food chain in America?
I love
it. It's got my vote.
Love Popeyes.
Really?
It's a big compliment.
Does Steak and Shake count as fast food?
That sounds like something better suited for the fast food podcast.
Yeah, we'll save it. I just want to throw it out there.
In-N-Out Burger.
You can think of
it. In-N-Out.
Oh, yeah, In-N-Out.
Chick-fil-A.
That's not really national.
Chick-fil-A's pretty
good. In-N-Out's not national.
I'm still mad at them for their Sunday standstill.
What is the Sunday standstill?
They're not open on Sunday because it's God's day.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
God wants chicken.
Taking a shot at God here, Wes, or?
Save it for the theology podcast.
I'll save it for that
save
one.
Save it for the theology and fast food.
That crossover pod.
right after the fast
Hosted by
pod.
Kevin Harlan,
with
of course.
Trent Richardson sitting in.
Finally, Jay Gruden.
Kevin Harlan.
He's the coach of the Redskins.
Yes, he is.
Alfred Morris is a former running back of the Redskins. They let him go. He was the bell cow guy for 3 years there, 4 years there. So now there's Matt Jones in the backfield. And Wes gets very excited talking about Matt Jones, thinking about Matt Jones.
Is that right? Wow.
Believing in Matt Jones.
Do you know how we know that Jay Gruden is the coach of the Redskins?
How?
We saw him at the podium after he won the NFC East.
All right, all right. I got you. Roundabout way to get a point in there, Wes, but
Thank
here
you.
We go. Jay Gruden believes that Matt Jones can be a workhorse-type guy. Matt played well, and we're very excited about him. He told CSN Mid-Atlantic, "We let a heck of a running back and a very productive running back go because we have Matt." That, of course, is referring to Alfred Morris. Do we believe Matt Jones? I mean, Matt Jones had a nice start to last year, and then he kind of faded and kind of disappeared a little bit. So now he's going to be the number one guy? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know if we believe in
Risky.
Him. I know last September, Greg and I were very high on him because you don't see 6'2", 235-pound backs moving like him. Mm-hmm. Well, and then he disappeared the rest of the year.
Well, he had fumbling problems, too, an average fumbling problems. 4 yards per carry.
Maybe I only remember what we got really wrong, but there was an NFL Now hit somewhere in the hinterlands where we went around the room talking, can anyone beat Matt Jones out for Rookie of the Year? Or something to that effect.
Wow.
Who are the Rookie of the Year candidates? And Matt Jones got half the answers.
Yeah.
I love this
up.
Matt Jones.
Replay
and that's
that.
Why I thought this was interesting, just because the comment that he's definitely our number one, we're taking a gamble. I think it really shows that they see that talent and they do see him as a starter and they're going to roll with it.
Well, I thought by
– get him in your fantasy league.
By September of last year, it was obvious Alfred Morris was not going to be back with the Redskins.
Right. I guess we could see if they draft anyone, but I like giving Matt Jones number one.
That's what's happening in the news. Okay, so the Greybeards, they're a team that I own in theory. And
by the way, I always thought it was the Graveyards, like graveyard.
Oh.
With an S. But totally it's misread grave, that.
Wow. Graveyards.
Graveyards.
Graveyards. Like they're dead people? Like their lives are over?
Yeah, that's where I went immediately. Yeah. So.
The Greybeards, because they tend to be all right, this is the conceit of the Greybeards. Players that are free agents that have yet to be signed now that we're, 4 weeks out from the start of free agency? I think we are now. This will be 4 weeks on Wednesday. And
you're right.
So I put together a roster, a full roster, offense and defense and special teams. Well, not complete special teams, but, kicker, punter.
You don't have a gunner?
I don't have a gunner, but I do have a long snapper. We'll get
Ooh.
To that.
Wonderful.
And I take all these guys that do not have jobs right now, but to me are useful, potentially still productive players in 2016, and they are members of the Greybeards, a team that I believe could beat the Browns and other NFL teams if it came down to it in a big spot.
And you can read you can read the entire roster on NFL.com/Dan Hanzus.
Is there a certain player type, like a personality or anything? Is there anything that's really important to your organization in terms of like when you're looking for
players? There's no Greg Hardy on the team.
Okay.
But I'm just looking for guys that not only have had production in their past, hopefully not too far in the rearview mirror. Well, I got some characters, some locker room guys in there.
You want to sell tickets, though. You know,
yeah, I got
LA
a couple
market
flashy
that
names
didn't have a team for a long time, so you always wanted some shiny names.
Well, it's funny you should say that because I have a big announcement to make. Of course, we were the Los Angeles Greybeards, but in come the Rams, which I thought nobody consulted the Greybeards management or ownership about this. I should have
wow.
at least been at the table, I think. So now I'm sharing a market with potentially the Chargers coming up from the South. Bogus. Bunch of BS. I'm not going to be in a three-team market. I don't care how big a market LA is. So guess what? Let me hear it one more time. The Greybeards are moving to St. Louis.
Wow.
Wow.
I thought you were going to declare vengeance.
Oh, no. I'm past that.
Okay. Right.
Not really.
That's big.
The St. Louis Greybeards. Because the
All
people
right.
of St. Louis
need to get used to that. I think.
You know, they deserve better. So we're,
we I like it.
It's like a shot at St. Louis.
What
Why?
Do you mean?
We took your team and now we're going to send you the people who were jettisoned by everyone else.
I'm proud of this team.
We're going to send you the cast-offs and rejects.
Will they play in the dome?
Look, let's be honest. This
yes,
team, this team may be better than
cover
the Rams.
The cement, though.
I can guarantee you they've got a better quarterback.
All right, let's go through the roster now. And by the way,
I don't think it's a shot at St. Louis. It's giving them some joy and giving them some fun.
I did run by a first draft of this roster with the team, but there was some disagreement, maybe some changes I've made. And of course, I lose people on a regular daily basis. For instance, Nick Fairley walked out of a handshake agreement with the Greybeards to go and sign. Where do you go again?
New Orleans.
New Orleans. Like, we had a deal. Nick goes out the door.
We just talked about it on the podcast 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, thank you. We also lost Brandon Boykin, who I thought would have been a nice guy with some upside.
Secondary guy, yeah.
Cook, too, I think. It's almost like they were reading your team.
Yes.
Coaching.
And signing players the last
That's why days. I like to keep things under a wrap until the big reveal.
Because you know they're just going to use you to drive up the price.
Exactly. And speaking of driving up the price, my starting quarterback is deep sigh Ryan Fitzpatrick, 33 years old, unemployed. We had no problem giving him $16 million per year. He doesn't know yet that it's not real money. So it could get a little messy a little later in the game. Mm-hmm. Ryan Fitzpatrick is our starter.
Full circle, back to St. Louis. People forget.
All the way around.
Forget his rookie year under Mike Martz.
And then, of course, the backup, you want to have a veteran, Wes. You want somebody in the clubhouse that will get along with people. You want somebody who could play a little acoustic guitar.
Oh,
great
ponytail.
Clipboard Jesus is in the building.
How about it?
Nashville's sexiest.
Jesus has risen. Charlie Whitehurst is our backup quarterback. So those are the quarterbacks. Not bad, right?
That's solid.
March 28th.
That
whatever.
Is better than the Rams quarterback room. No doubt.
Next up, here's my running backs. And I love this. A little thunder and lightning, or perhaps thunder and thunder. We'll see how it works out. Arian Foster, still unattached. So he is a member of the St. Louis Greybeards, 30 years old. Coming off an ACL injury, Achilles injury. LeGarrette Blount, bang, put him in at the goal line, take a little heat off Aaron
Where's
Foster.
The lightning? Ronnie Hillman.
I had some talks with Ronnie, but right at this point he was not on the team.
LeGarrette's good for like the team parties.
Oh, yeah.
Just driving around in the cars before games, he's great.
LeGarrette Blount, 29 years old. You'll see a theme here every year with the Greybeards. 30 is your life is over at 30 years old if you're not a star player. It's tough. It's tough business.
Or just a regular person, too.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Drop off.
Yeah, that's true. Fullback, and we are thrilled to make this announcement because he's the only fullback that like 90% of football fans know. John Kuhn.
Kuhn!
In the building, 34 years young. Probably will end up being poached by the Packers at some point. But right now he's got a home with the Greats.
34?
Yeah. Well, all these ages are as of week one, so he might be 33 now. But
34-year-old fullback. He's
That's
got a
sell
lot
tickets.
Working against him.
Yeah, well, wait till we get to our wide receivers. Not a lot of burners. We won't be taking the top off any off defenses this year. Anquan Boldin, 35 years old.
Speed seems to be an issue in general.
Yeah, speed is. We'll see that come up over and over again. Anquan Boldin, one receiver. Percy Harvin. We're going to have through all of September.
That's the speed. There's your lightning.
For a month, and then we're going to put him on IR. He'll get IR even on a fake team. James Jones.
Might be slower than Bolden.
Put him in the slot. Have some fun with him over there. And then Andre Johnson. Because we've got to put somebody on the media guide. Somebody's got to be on the front of the media guide.
That's a good point.
Andre
yeah.
Johnson.
35 okay. years old. So Bolden and Johnson are my outside receivers, both 35. It's a problem. Speed's a problem.
I think, yeah.
Agey, though.
I think you could put Harvin on the outside just in this situation.
I'm trying to figure out a way for him to not get hurt. I almost want to put him on a spot of the field where there'll be less injuries. I haven't figured that out yet.
Is there any teams that this receiver group would be better than?
No.
No?
Too slow.
It's a pretty brutal
Cleveland
receiving
group. I match it up against Cleveland.
Bolden and Harvin, you know, you could get away
All
with
right,
that.
Yeah.
But if Josh Gordon's back.
Well, if Gordon's back, that's different.
All right.
Tight end. And, we lost
Jared Cook.
That hurt. Because I thought Jared had a real chance to be somebody that could revitalize his career with Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's not going to happen. But I have Vernon Davis.
Would have angered the St. Louis fans, though. I think they're
That's
happy
true.
That Jared Cook's gone.
Vernon Davis, 32 years old by week one.
Still can move. Yeah.
Hasn't done a damn thing in 4 years.
No.
But maybe it's basically your last chance. Because if you fail with the Greybeards, you're out.
He's ready. I think he's ready for it.
And then I have, as his backup, Owen Daniels. So I basically brought back Denver's tight end group from last year.
It's good. There's
a
chemistry.
Some osmosis there. And he did some things. Daniels did some things with Peyton Manning's corpse last year. So
yeah,
33 years
yeah,
old.
He scored two.
Sounds awful.
He scored two touchdowns, or was it just two big catches in
I thought
the
it was
AFC
two touchdowns.
Championship? If he doesn't beat Jamie Collins one on one a couple times, Patriots might have won the Super Bowl.
It's highly illegal.
So this doesn't sound. All that sounds pretty decent so far, right? Not great. A little slow, but some nice name brands.
Serviceable players.
This is where the graybeards get into some trouble because the offensive line is going to get beat like a drum.
Oh, no.
It's hard to put together an entire line basically on April 1st.
All right.
It's going to be like the Mike Smith Falcons.
I disagree, but go ahead.
Again, average age about 30 years old here. Luis Vasquez.
That's a good guard right there.
Right tackle. We're going to play him at right tackle.
Oh, okay.
Ben Grubbs at right guard.
Tackles out there. That's fine.
Stefan Wisniewski.
It's fine.
At center, Jahri Evans, 33 years young, at left guard. And, you know, this one's a little controversial. I'm going to kick the tires on an old all-pro. He's been out of the league mostly for almost 2 years. Jake Long, new blocker. He's
this
blindside blocker.
He's back on the Graybeard.
5 years ago, this line would be phenomenal.
Yeah.
That Jahri Evans, Ben Grubbs were making Pro Bowls together in New Orleans.
I think this line is fine, four-fifths of it. You continuing to go back to the Jake Long well for the Graybeards is curious.
Listen,
I think he was a – we looked this up today. He only played 11 snaps last year. He was on
the Falcons.
That means
he's fresh.
But just sat on the bench.
He's rested. His body
he's
has got
–
moves like Frankenstein.
You could have found someone.
Got the rest.
Will Beatty's out there.
By the way,
there.
How old do you think Jake Long is?
64.
Well, I know the answer
34?
Because we talked about
He's only 31 years old.
Wow.
Really? Sneaky young.
Wow.
Sneaky young.
Oh, he's a great guy.
Sneaky young.
He's had surgeries. He's had a lot of surgeries.
That's all right. They're not really going to be moving a
He's
lot.
Basically going out there with Brian Baldinger's body right now.
Now let's move to the defense.
John
so that's
Bunyan.
The offense. The defense, I really liked my interior line before Fairley walked out of the handshake agreement. He said his word was as strong as oak. Apparently not, Nick. So what we're left with is Jason Hatcher, Pot Roast Knighton, Mike DeVito, an old Jet. I like to get some old Jets on the team. Real workhorse. And Henry Melton.
You might
it's
lose
Greg's
Pot
boy,
Roast.
Henry Melton.
Not bad.
Pot Roast might
Jason Hatcher can still
go
play.
Back to D.C.
If I had Fairley, I would have
been
pumped
up. That's
not
too bad. I think I told you to get Melton off there. I don't remember who I
– Really?
I just feel like at this point Melton's –
He's
got a lot of chance.
He's going to be 29. I factor in the
young.
Age with some of these guys. Edge rushers, Aldon Smith. Going to take a chance on Aldon.
Pot Roast also gives you some commercials.
He does.
How you people know him.
Aldon Smith, I'm going to take a shot on him. The youngest guy in the roster, 26 years old. Dwight Freeney, 36, coming off a decent season in Arizona.
Veteran.
And
leadership.
Croy Bierman, former Falcons pass rusher.
Wow.
Mostly put him on there because he's on one of the terrible reality shows my wife watches.
I just found out about this show.
What's it called?
Real
Don't
Wives
Be Tardy.
Of Atlanta.
Real Wives of Atlanta?
Don't Be Tardy with Kim Zolciak. I think it's a spinoff program.
They have spinoffs for that stuff?
Yeah, it's a little tip of the cap to my lovely wife. And he's had some moments in his career. He's 30 years old. I think he's done. Also had an Achilles injury, I believe, in his past.
True.
Inside linebacker.
Are you concerned about Aldon Smith's multiple suspensions?
Absolutely. But
he's out for
basically,
the
–
Did you talk to him about
it? We had a nice conversation. Greg Hardy was also on the board, but I said, no. Won't do it. Can't do it. Won't bring him to St. Louis.
I like it.
But Aldon Smith, I said, I'm going to give him a shot. So we'll see what happens.
I believe in the Graybeards.
Thank you.
I'm starting to buy in.
I like this. Inside linebacker, Carlos Dansby, D'Amico Ryans, and Donald Butler.
D'Amico, great guy. Love this.
Yep. Former rookie of the year. It was 10 years ago, but, you know, he was. Dansby was second team All-Pro 1 year.
That looks like an NFL.
Don't ask Kevin Acey about Donald Butler.
Yeah, that's a headline from Kevin Acey's column. Donald Butler defrauded Chargers. Got my eyes out on him. We're gonna work with him to make sure he stays
on
motivated.
The radar.
That was a good article. It's basically Donald Butler got paid and then completely stopped trying.
Jared Gaither.
You know what? Now he's humbled and he's younger. He's 27 years old. Zach Brown and Justin Durant on the outside linebacker.
Like Zach Brown. I'm surprised he's still a free agent.
Well, don't tell anybody. Cornerback.
Never made the leap.
All right, now I'm going to tell you a little bit about my secondary, and I'm nervous because no one is under the age of 30. So speed, once again,
wow.
is going to come back to haunt us. Antonio Cromartie, and this is all on the Law of Crow, which is have kids every year, but also your good 1 year, crappy 1 year.
Uh-huh.
So this would be technically potentially his good year.
Good year, yeah.
That has to end eventually, but yeah.
We're going to put Leon Hall in the slot, 31 years old. And then this is asking a lot of a guy that's 35 and coming off a torn ACL. We're going to put Charles Tillman on the outside against some fast physical receivers and see how it works out.
It's an interesting
Can't
strategy.
Judge a man's heart.
Well, what you've done, and I think it's savvy, is you've surrounded some of the players like Nick Fairley and Alden Smith with some Walter Payton Man of the Year candidates, Anquan Boldin. Charles Tillman, I believe, was a winner.
True.
These are men of the highest character.
I'll make note of that for my write-up, Man of the Year. And the safeties, this is a dream come true for the entire organization. Roman Harper, who always felt like he should be on the Greybeards because he's been gray for 5 years.
Yeah.
He is going to be one of our safeties, 33 years young. Deshaun Goldson, get a little name brand in there, 31 years old. And Reggie Nelson, 32 years old. Those are my
What
safeties.
About the coaching staff? Have the you thought about bringing anybody in?
My head coach. Mm-hmm. Well, let me get to the kicker.
Oh, okay.
You got a healthy Alden Smith in there. There are worse defenses maybe in the NFL than that defense. I don't know.
What do you think, Wes?
I think they're incredibly slow.
Yeah, well, that's a problem.
A little slow.
A lot of heart, though. Kicker, Greg the Leg Zuerlein. Now, anybody named
Best
Greg the Leg.
Best athlete on your team right now, Greg Zuerlein.
The biggest problem is not his nickname, which is great, but he was 10 of 20 last year. Field goal attempts, that is 66.6%. That is not good. But
20 of 30, right, yeah.
Greg, Greg the Leg is a great nickname.
Math.
Greg
math.
The Leg.
Math is hard.
So come join us, Greg.
Greg the Leg.
Who's your coach?
I know Wes wanted Greg the Leg on the top 99 until I pointed out those stats.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
Punter Brian Anger, just like his name. He's a free agent.
Great jersey name.
He signed with someone.
Did he?
I think the Bucks.
He's forever known as the guy drafted four spots ahead of Russell Wilson.
Oh, no, that's right.
The Jaguars fans are like, what? We took a punter in the third round?
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Gene Smith.
And finally, my long snapper, and Patcher was pumped up about this. He was not happy. Don Mulbach.
Oh, yeah, Muley.
For 14 years has been a steady special teams ace for the Lions. Jump sides now. He comes to St. Louis. He's going to be our long snapper, 35 years young.
He's in that John Feinstein book I was reading from 2004 Ravens as like a guy they cut in training camp.
I'm not up to speed on all my long snappers.
He found his niche, folks.
Almost.
And now he's a gray beard. And finally, maybe you guys could take a guess who the head coach is. I just made the hire. It's very good because we get to take him out of a kind of a toxic situation where – it was kind of like a little uncomfortable, the situation he was in.
Tom Coughlin.
We're going to get him out of the facility.
I love that.
Stop going to Giants to get on the elliptical machine. Get out of their building. Come coach for us.
And,
I feel like he's just watching Ben McAdoo and like making like the weird Robert De Niro gesture with his hands to his eyes. And
exactly. We got to get that situation. So basically it's two birds with one stone. Let Ben McAdoo coach in peace. And then we welcome a two-time Super Bowl champion, borderline Hall of Fame coach, hyper-motivated at age 70 or whatever it is.
Play caller Mike Shanahan.
We get Mike in the building. Come on in, Mike.
We need a defensive boss.
That's a team. That's the St. Louis Greybeards.
I'm excited about it.
If I gave them a full training camp and nobody, you know, half the team would probably get hurt, but do you think I could beat any NFL team?
played 16.
I want to see edge rushers going around Jake Long all day long.
It's a little slow.
Turnstile.
I don't think
the
defense is that bad.
What would our record be, honestly?
It'd either be 0-16 or 1-15.
You think so?
I agree. I think team speed is a serious.
You would have like
I
a jazzy
a
out on the
unit.
Field.
Yeah, maybe you're right. It depends. Coughlin is a good asset.
I think
ownership would be great. So that would be.
If Percy Harvin stayed healthy for 16 games, I think you would have to feature him as your offensive focal point.
Yeah.
He's not going to. I'm already assuming he's going on IR.
That's the only way you can win because no one else has speed on your team.
Yeah, that's true. 5-11, maybe. A couple things go the right way. 7-9. Uh-oh, what's 7-9? 9-7. Playoffs. Miracle.
Playoffs.
Tom Coughlin.
How did 7-9 just miraculously become 9-7?
Because, you know, it's just the bounce of the ball.
Is it because you're in St. Louis? You immediately went to 7-9?
That's true.
Touche.
All right, let's get him on the phone now. Lots of stuff to talk about with our New Jersey correspondent. He's based. He works out of a haunted house that he owns. He pays a mortgage on. But here's the big news: Connor Orr on the line, getting married on Saturday. Hubba hubba! Are you ready, Connor, to become a different type of human?
I am. I am so ready for the next phase of life. going to be an amazing experience.
You sound somber, though.
That's just because I got into like a fight with the limo company like 6 minutes before you called me. So I'm just cooling off a little bit, but everything's fine. You know?
I would not want to be on the other side of Connor in full wedding beast mode.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Because this limo driver is getting an earful.
Well, I've heard stories without naming names, some wars that Connor got in on the New York sports beat with other beat writers. He's not somebody that's going to back down from a challenge or what he sees as a slight.
Interesting.
So when the limo's coming out, you're trying to bang you, you're banging back, right?
I mean, I feel like multiple pickups shouldn't be a problem since there's a groom and a bride, but things amaze me every day, you know? So
isn't that what a limo really is for?
Right.
Yeah. It's so an amazing world, though.
Pulling back the curtain a little bit, earlier today, on our instant messenger client that we use, which I will not reference by name. It's a decent product. It's not great. I've dealt with better. I've dealt with worse. I put it right at about a 5 out of 10. Connor and I were talking about it. And we were talking about what's going on. Like, oh, Connor, we haven't had you on in a while. Is there anything new? How about your Madden team? And Connor dropped like 3 gems out of nowhere. And I said, well, stop talking. Stop IMing. And let's talk about it on the pod. So let's talk about your Madden franchise. And for those that maybe haven't heard Connor talk about his Madden team, he plays in the franchise mode. I believe that's what it's called, Connor, right?
The franchise mode, yeah.
And it allows you to not only, you know, play full seasons and all that, you actually get to control every aspect of the organization from personnel right down to how much French fries cost and where the team plays. So the last time we caught up with you, you had moved the New England Patriots to Portland and rename them the River Hogs. And the team's star player was who?
At the time, it was Nile Davis.
Nile Davis, the running back. And you had another historic season. The only thing, the one constant is historic record-breaking seasons, just both from individual statistics and also team success, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've won the Super Bowl every year since 2013. We're now coasting into week 2 of the 2018 season. So I feel pretty good about our chances to take it home again.
Have you ever thought of stepping up the competition a level? You know, that it's almost
going to expert level. Oh. What Greg's hinting at here.
I mean, you know, has Bill Belichick thought about getting a harder NFL? I mean, there are some things that I just can't do, and I'm so good that, I mean, maybe if EA wants to come in and sort of create an executive that could potentially be smarter than me. I don't know if that's possible, though.
So. All right. And EA, take that as a challenge. All right. So here's the thing, though. Since, despite being so dominant, you have, again, made some major changes to your organization. Do you want to just take us through that briefly?
Well, our big push this year is going to be to acquire at least 20 of the 32 first-round draft picks. And
you're so stupid.
We have 11 at the moment, and you know, in
you have
in
11
Madden,
first round picks.
I have 11 first round draft picks, and can I just say, in Madden, they have like a faux Twitter where like Adam Schefter and like Ross Tucker and like there's a lot of pundits that comment on the moves, and Schefter says something
we gotta get on that.
Like ho hum, like you know, River Hogs trade. I think it was like Michael Robinson or Kyle Juszczyk, a fullback. But what he failed to mention was that I got a first-round pick out of it. I don't think that's ho-hum. I think that's a fantastic maneuver on my part.
Wait, that's like in that awful movie Draft Day when the Jaguars are getting pilfered by Costner. How are they accepting these deals?
So what I keep doing is, like, if a team needs a fullback, I'll offer them, like, a fullback and a third-round pick for a first-round pick, and then just keep doing that over and over again. So, like, I have 11 first-round picks, but then no picks for the next
This is an amazing strategy, Connor.
This is why, by the way, conspiracy theorists should – everybody relax about, you know, robots and AI and the idea of machines taking over. Look at the horrible moves the GMs are
making.
They
love fullbacks.
Exactly.
I like that Connor is really now trying to win just despite Adam Schefter. You know that's up there in his house. Oh, Schefter's, you know, doubting us. That's got to be in the River Hogs.
That's on his
Who's the coach of the River Hogs right now? He can bring that up before a big game.
Mike Ditka.
Oh.
What else is going on with the Riverhogs? Wait, any other?
I have a question.
Oh, go ahead, Wes.
You hinted that Nile Davis is no longer your offensive focal point. Who's the star of the show these days?
Well, I was talking to Chip, and you know, we were kind of comparing strategies, and you know, we had talked about sort
Chip
of
Kelly?
The utilization of Sorry, okay. I just call him Chip.
Okay.
And but you know, just the utilization of the power spread, which is an offense we both run really effectively, and we're kind of moving away and making it more of a quarterback-based offense, which is why I took some big steps to acquire both McCown brothers, because I think that. I call it deception perception, and it's really hard to tell which one is on the field. It adds a whole new element to our offense.
Wait, so teams are getting thrown off by Luke versus Josh at any given moment. It's affecting how they scheme and strategize, and wow.
Totally, yeah. I mean,
how
like
are
Rex
they that
Ryan
different?
Said, like Rex Ryan said when he got Tebow, if you're forcing another opponent to even spend 10 minutes preparing for the other McCown, you're winning the battle. And so that's what I'm
whenever,
doing. Right
whenever
now.
You can follow the coaching moves of the 2012 New York Jets, you got to do it.
Connor, do you have any like promotional events planned for the Riverhogs this year? I know that was sort of like an initiative that you had talked about the last time we talked to you.
Yeah, it was sort of a strategic misstep when you're putting a billion-dollar stadium in downtown Portland with a team built around Nile Davis and the Nile Mile Shopping Center. after trading him, the kind of some of the promotional aspects of that got thrown out of whack a little bit. So in the meantime, we've kind of just been raising popcorn prices, wing prices, just to sort of make up the nut on that. So, you know, it's tough, but it's my job.
Hey, Connor, how about the criticism that's out there that you lack loyalty as an owner?
Wow. well, I mean, I would ask, you know, some of our more tenured players. You know, I think that Coach Ditka is thrilled with the direction that the franchise is going in. We offered Coach Marone a chance to stay on as an executive assistant, and he declined.
A secretary?
So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I can't handle, you know, but I can't handle losing the most. So
there you go. That was a great Madden update there, and we'll continue to check in with that team because you never know what's going to happen next.
That was a great owner spin non-answer right there.
Yeah,
definitely. Really mastered it.
Press conference or two.
Practice.
All right. Finally, before we let you go, Connor, and thank you so much for giving us this time as always, especially during. You know, one of the more hectic weeks in a young man's life, as I can attest to. Horrible Movies, which is a series that launched, ostensibly launched a couple of months back, where you were going to review all of the top 100 movies on some websites.
AFI?
AFI's top 100 movies of all time. You're going to go through them because you felt you were lacking some culture in the terms of, you know, the cinematic world. Where are we with that? Have you been able to plow through any films, or do you have you written anything up? Are you ready to talk about this? Where are we at?
I think we're ready for kind of an earnest launch, probably in a few weeks. But I will tell you guys that I am halfway through Citizen Kane, and let me just say, it is so stupid. So just looking forward to talking with you guys about that. I have no idea who made that list, but so far – everyone talks really loud. The movie lacks any sort of special effects, and it's hella dumb. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
Is that the only movie you've seen on the list?
Yeah,
so
it feels
far?
Like you would need to get through the whole thing before making a final.
Listen, he has a process. Okay. We don't want to judge.
I don't think anybody's watching 1940s movies for the special effects.
Well, maybe that's part of the problem. Connor is a millennial. All right, so we're gonna wait. We're gonna wait on that. We're gonna stick a pin in Horrible Movies for now. We'll get back to you on that. Madden team update, a lot to digest there. We'll have to listen to that again. I have to take notes on this at this point to keep up with everything that's going on with the Riverhogs. And good luck, buddy, with the old nuptials. It's all about to change.
Have fun, Connor.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I will think of you all when I'm miles away on my honeymoon.
Very nice. And it is the final step, really, in the holy trinity of adulthood for Connor now. Because he had the live-in fiance, he had the house, and now he's going to have the wife. It's going to become a marriage situation. Next thing you know, kids.
Yeah.
And then out goes the PS3 game system.
Say goodbye to the
Riverhogs.
Just get ready, buddy. It's all about to go real fast.
But marriage is wonderful.
Never going anywhere.
Marriage is great.
Yeah. All right, Connor. See you
good
later,
luck,
buddy.
Connor.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
All right. That's it. One last thing. Our listeners are so great, and we have such a great community, as we know. On subreddit, on reddit.com, there's a subreddit on Around the NFL, the podcast, that everybody should get on. Because, and I'm looking at you as well, Colleen.
I know. I'm nervous about this.
Because we should all be on it, even if you go under a fake name.
No, it will be Connie Fox.
Okay, good. Because the group, it's building, it's getting
now
bigger.
Now someone is going to sign up and pretend to be Connie.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Well, now you got to get up quick before this podcast
like
goes. But anyway, so everybody get on at reddit.com/r/AroundTheNFL, the only endorsed subreddit of the Around the NFL podcast. Chris Wesley.
I have no idea how subreddit works.
All right, we're going to take you through it one step at a time. So make sure you check it out, reddit.com/r/AroundTheNFL. That's it. For another edition of the Around the NFL podcast, we'll be back on Wednesday with another show. Colleen, you've done it again.
Yeah, I'm signing up right now.
All right, good. Very smart.
Great.
Only nobody else signed up as Connie Fox. That is Colleen's bag, all right? So hopefully we'll have Mark back, and we can talk about his health terrors. And if, you know, meat perhaps is the solution to getting all this stuff out the window. What
or
do you think,
food in general, maybe.
I don't think he'll look upon that theory too kindly.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to back off a little bit. It could be anything. Get well soon, Mark. Until Wednesday, this is Dan Hansis signing off for Connie Fox, the mailman, the boss, and the Irishman behind the glass. Until Wednesday.
NFL news, and here's their chance. It's ATL around the league. Light a flame, boys. Pigskin's hot tonight. Burn, baby, burn.